This is a really, really good episode of the podcast. You guys can really get a lot out of this. You have to listen to the entire thing. The ending is really, really, really important. You're not going to get the full effect of the ending unless you listen to the entire thing all the way through.
Now tuned into the motherfucking greatest.
Welcome to the Cyclone Fanatic Podcast. Your weekly look inside Iowa State, the sports scene, pop culture, and...
You know what? Forget this. When's the last time these guys ever stayed on topic?
About anything. The Cyclone Fanatic Podcast is powered by Charterhouse Real Estate. Charterhouse Real Estate is real estate redefined. Learn more about Charterhouse Real Estate on the forums of Cyclone Fanatic or charterhouseiowa.com.
It's a new beginning.
And now, hello. Please welcome your hosts, Chris Williams.
Are you not aware that I get farty and bloated with a foamy latte?
My mistake, Jacobin.
Your mistake indeed.
Mark Charter.
Because only one thing counts in this life. Get them to sign on the line which is dotted. A always B B C closing. Always be closing.
And Adam Gratham.
There is one person in every group of friends that nobody f***ing likes.
Hey, what's up, dorks? Welcome to this week's podcast, CycloneFanatic.com. We're at the Charterhouse Real Estate. Did I get the name right?
Finally.
Yes.
Charterhouse. Yeah.
We're at the office where Mark and I, we've been shooting some pool, just hanging out, and Gray's here icing his testicles. How you doing?
I'm doing good.
He did limp in the door. I watched.
No, you know, I feel pretty good. The doctors at the Iowa Clinic took good care of me, you know, but I'm a little tender, like you would expect after having a procedure like that.
Have you tested him out yet?
That's not appropriate, Chris.
I have it on good authority that he has.
That is not appropriate conversation, guys.
Still working.
Are you wearing an Apple Watch?
Nope, this is a Fitbit watch.
Oh.
No, I can't afford the Apple Watch.
Oh, I got you. Yeah. How is it?
That's not bad. I just got it. Basically, I like to get it because at the end of the day, it basically will just tell me you're still a fat ass is what it says on there.
Yeah. So. When you look at people that wear an Apple Watch, does any part of you think that's a dork or...
No, I don't think that at all.
If I had 600 bones or whatever it is to just drop on a watch, yeah. I'd probably use one too. But I don't think they're told. No, I don't think so.
Katie,
I would wear one.
I've got actually a pretty cool friend that wears one, so I'm torn on them. Katie went and looked at them the other day. I had never seen one. Well, I'd seen them on other people, but not up close. But I didn't know they had so many different types.
I don't know what I would use it for.
Apparently what you use it for is instead of constantly pulling out your phone to check something, you can see the text message right away on your wrist and it saves your phone battery and whatever. So I think it's one of those inventions you clearly do not need at all. But hey, if you're into technology,
this is
go.
Coming from the guy that spent $800 in a man purse last year.
Yeah, remember when Carter bought that purse?
That purse is over there, by the way. I prefer satchel.
Okay.
Does it have your testicles in it?
The good thing about my man purse satchel is that I could probably, well.
2 minutes in, you said testicles now three times.
Other than I actually did kind of ruin the bag because I have it monogrammed with my initial, so the resale will be a little bit tough on that.
Yeah.
But I'd be able to sell that thing for quite a few $100 down the road if I wanted to.
Speaking of testicles, jeez. That George Niang has massive ones, man.
Huge. Onions. I don't know how he plays.
I mean, those things are just great.
Large onions. How does he play with those big ones in there?
Yeah.
Your guys' thoughts on Denver?
On Denver?
Yeah.
I've
already given mine a million times.
I love John Denver.
Yeah.
He's great.
I cannot believe how good we played. I'll be honest with you. I mean, I thought we'd win both games. I had us going to the Sweet 16, but in the way we did it, to where, you know, last 10 minutes of the game, neither game was really in doubt at all. Iona game got a little bit close there until English picked up that technical, but even then, I think it was more as Iowa State going to cover rather than as Iowa State going to win the game.
Do you want to some insight on that technical?
Yeah, I want to hear what happened.
So I don't know exactly, but I do know somebody who was right behind Iowa State's bench,
and
this is what he told me he thinks went down. So apparently, Naz had pointed out to the guys early on, this guy's a bit of a head case. Like, just talk to him.
Yep.
throughout the game. Just keep chirping, keep
little
chirping.
Jibber jabber.
So I guess Niang like is like he's like one of the greatest trash talkers of all time.
Oh, yeah.
Like doing it in Iowa State. I mean,
without you really noticing,
yeah,
he's doing it.
Like as a fan, you're sitting there watching. You don't even know what's going on.
Yeah,
like, you have no idea. It's not like. It's not a very, like, boisterous type deal. So, apparently, Naz had been, like, encouraging these guys to just be a little bit chippy with this English guy to completely – and it worked out exactly as Naz had predicted, like, that he just totally melted down at the end of that game.
So, who did he yell at?
He was either yelling at Naz or Simeon Carter.
Okay.
Because Carter was even in on the action.
And he had to have dropped an F-bomb or something.
Yeah,
to
it looked – to me, where I thought he yelled at Prohm.
I did too. From
but it
yeah.
was I think he was yelling at Naz or Simeon Carter, one of the two.
Yeah. If you're the ref, do you call a T there?
Oh, there were way too many T's in that game. The double technical was stupid. Like, yeah. Just let him.
Anybody that yells at the bench, though, of the opposing team, that's stupid.
Yeah, if he dropped an F-bomb at the bench while he's walking to his, it's probably deserving. I'd like to know what he said, actually.
Yeah.
Did a little bit of Denver feel like a tiny bit of an outer body experience? It was the Iowa State team. It's the players that we know, but they played so differently than we're used to seeing them play, where they didn't give up a lead. They didn't let the team back in. They just rolled from beginning to end. It just felt great.
And they always had an answer.
Every time. It just felt like a different team, and hopefully that's a good thing because we need a different team to show up against Virginia. But back to George. And yes, I know I shouldn't bring up the Hawkeyes, but you can't help but notice the difference between our best player and their best player in big games. And George is stepping up huge.
Ours actually wants the basket.
Huge. Yeah. Yeah, George is just in control out there.
I think you can go all the way back to him in high school, at his prep school, where they won the national championship, I believe. He's been in a lot of big games, and he's played well in a lot of big games.
Yeah.
So this time of year, I mean, even going against Virginia, who's, one of the top five defensive teams in the country?
Fourth.
They're not going to have an answer for George. If George struggles, I think it's going to be because George misses shots, because there's no one in the country one-on-one that can guard that guy. He can go inside. He can go outside. He doesn't need space. That's the crazy thing. For most guys to score, they need some space. He doesn't.
Yeah.
I mean, if a guy's on him, he's figured out a way to get a shot off that when he shoots it, you're thinking to yourself, how the hell do you even get into the hoop, let alone make it?
Yeah.
So, I don't know. George played great, but really everybody, the whole starting five played great. If we could get a little bit more out of the bench, it'd be nice.
Well, at least like in game two, like Deontay Burton was so bad in game one.
Oh.
At least in game two, like he responded.
Yeah, he did.
He didn't play great, but I mean, he hit that big three. And then like even Hollis Cook.
He hit that big three too.
Yeah, he hit a three. And these guys on that bench, they just need good things to happen, and they're so much better with that confidence. And I think Cook, like, for the first time really this season, over the last, like, four or five games, I think that light kind of is starting to come on with him. Now, I don't think he's going to have a huge impact over the next couple of weeks or anything. However, if he's hitting a three like that, and if he's defending like he was – attempting to. I don't think he's ever going to be a great defender, but the effort was there. I mean, he's bringing a lot more to you than Jordan Ashton was at that point in the year, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, Burton I still don't trust, though. It's like, God, that stupid attempted reverse dunk stuff. He still does stuff like that where it's like he'll hit the three and he'll do like a couple things that look awesome, and then he just does like one of those moves. You just put your face in your palm and
on
go,
TV.
What?
You were watching on TV. Did you think he made it at first?
No. So I was watching that kind of with one eye because that was going on during the other games at Wells Fargo, and I was down there watching those. I was surprised though that. I know they had a healthy lead when that happened, but I was surprised that he didn't get yanked as soon as that happened. Did he get pulled shortly after, or was he just on the floor?
I don't really remember.
Usually a coach will yank a player for doing that type of a deal. You know, just flush it, get the points.
Yeah.
The reverse stuff's a little bit of showing up the other team and, you know, unneeded. But I think the lead was healthy. So I don't, you know, nobody really cared.
It's a good thing he didn't do that in the first half.
No, for sure. But no, it was refreshing to see this team play the way they did in Denver. I agree with you, Gray. I expected them to win. I thought they would win. Obviously, I thought they were going to have to beat Purdue to do it. But honestly, they played about as well as you could possibly hope for.
I figured if they went to the Sweet 16, it would be like a couple of like knee knockers, you know?
Yeah.
Where it's down to the wire, just like what we're accustomed to with this team.
I felt good against Iona. I predicted them to win by 13. They won by 13. I'm patting myself
That's
on the
back hilarious because
right
I sent my dad a text. I said, Clones by 13 today.
You
High five.
You must have been listening to me on the podcast
I did not listen to last week's podcast.
Thanks for your support, Chris.
So I was so busy. Did you see all the content I was cranking out?
No, you did. You did a hell of a job.
We were busting it out there, man.
By the way, fine, you get props. I'm going to give you your props.
Thanks.
It was a good prediction.
Thanks. I appreciate that.
It wasn't nearly as good, and you don't get nearly as many props as my 4-year-old boy, Seton, who before the game predicted 93-81.
Did he do it in a public manner? Did anyone hear him?
He did it to his mama.
Well, that doesn't count.
You know, she told me.
Moms like to embellish stories to make the 4-year-old kid sound better. I don't believe Katie.
I text dad, Clones by 13.
You did, right. Boom. There. Mike. Mike was texting me throughout the Arkansas Little Rock game. We were very happy with what was going on.
Oh, yeah. My dad is the biggest Matt Thomas fan in the world.
Oh.
He loves
Matt
Thomas.
Dude, I'm a Matt Thomas fan. That guy has played so well this year.
How good was he in the first half of the Iona game? Because that game a couple times in the first half looked like we were getting out of control. And yep. He got loose balls, and he calmed us down. He made all the smart plays in the first half to really keep us where he wanted to be.
Especially when George was missing all those layups.
Oh.
He was missing all those layups, and Nader was on the bench with two fouls, and,
yep,
and Thomas's consistency really kept that game, you know, at arm's length.
Yeah,
I told you guys earlier this year, and I still believe it, and everybody would say George, and that's fine. I don't necessarily disagree. But much earlier on a podcast, I said our MVP was Matt Thomas, and the reason is we lost Naz. Matt has stepped up. He's finally playing the way he should have been playing the last couple of years. He's matured. He's not making stupid mistakes. He's playing good defense. He's hitting huge shots. I think he's the most valuable player on our team. Now, obviously, we need George, and George is the best player. But in terms of value and filling a role and helping out with Naz's absence, Matt Thomas is that guy.
You could almost make an argument, too. And this is no disrespect to Naz, but Matt's playing at a level higher than Naz ever has
right now. Well, yeah. He hasn't had that heat check 7-3 moment, but
that's okay though. Yeah. I mean, I'm just talking about like a game to game consistency. He's more consistent than Naz.
Oh, absolutely. He's more consistent than probably anybody on our team. Not offensively as much as Niang, but offense and defense, you could say he's probably our most consistent player right now.
Yeah, I would agree. It's a fun game for him. I don't know if you guys read my piece on Tony Bennett and
I did.
Otzelberger and Matt, but Matt and Tony Bennett are really close, even to this day. I mean, they were really close throughout that recruiting process. And, I mean, I think it was really you flip a coin between Iowa State and Virginia, but Iowa State was so much closer proximity to Onalaska, Wisconsin. That's probably why he ended up here. But that will be fun, I know. And I know TJ and Tony Bennett are still incredibly close. That's a fun matchup.
Do we have I'd love to get your guys' predictions coming up on the Iowa State game, but we can probably save that for a couple seconds. I never want to hear Gray talk X's and O's. with the exception of this, because I am curious. Gray, were you watching the end of the UNI game?
Yeah, I watched both at the end of
Okay, so you saw it all happen. You're the coach guy. You're the X's and O's guy.
Yeah.
Were you just freaking out, like, just beside yourself on how they couldn't get this thing figured out and get the ball in bounds? I'm curious on your take on that, because it was, as has been pointed out many times, literally the biggest blown lead within a minute in NCAA history.
A couple guys sent me the percentages, like win percentages. A couple of those things had them at 100%. They broke the table.
Yeah.
I mean, it was the anomaly of all anomalies. For anybody that would – nobody would believe you if you told them what had just happened, especially when you would throw in the fact that, like, they never fouled. That makes it even more unbelievable. But as a basketball aficionado at the end of that game, and again, you can't even explain it, but what was your takeaway? Because it was such a historical thing that just happened.
My takeaway.
Tough day for Hawk fans.
I've watched the replay of it, and I still don't know how they did it.
Yeah.
I mean, my wife's a UNI grad, big UNI fan. She's sitting there. Jeez. A&M gets the rebound, lays it in with 34 seconds to go to put – they're down 10. And she's like, come on, guys. You got to get the rebound. I was mocking her. I'm like, Julie, you're up 10, they're up 10 with 30 seconds to go. Just chill. It's over.
Yeah.
Game's over. She was not happy with me afterwards for mocking her in that situation. She knew what I didn't know.
I've seen your wife during Vikings games. Back
she can get intense.
Playing.
Yeah, she gets intense.
She gets pretty animated.
I joke that I probably could have done something really terrible to her, and she wouldn't have been as mad as she was after that UNI game.
What would that be?
I'm not going to go there because you guys will
just... You've done something terrible.
No, I haven't done anything terrible. I'm just saying
Why would you do something terrible?
I would never do anything terrible to my wife. I'm just telling you. She was so... I've never seen her that mad. She doesn't swear. She might have thrown a couple curse words, but... Back to what they did. I mean, they just... They lost their composure. And I think the refs probably were a little bit lackadaisical on maybe calling a couple bump and call fouls that they could have.
The end one was horrible.
It was a horrible call, but that was 1 point out of 12. You know, that's what I keep coming at. It was 1 point out of 12. It was bad. But yeah, they just, I mean, that inbounds pass where he threw it and it didn't even touch you and I player and went straight out of bounds. I mean, you're able to.
That was
the
horrible. They had two plays in a row where they tried to spike it off another guy's foot and it hit nothing. And it wasn't just that they were turning the ball over, it was that they kept turning it over immediately under the hoop.
Yeah.
And that would allow them to only burn 1 or 2 seconds, which was contributing to the, you know, and really the play of the game, and he'll probably hate himself for this for the rest of his life, frankly. The one that tied the game was when Washburn got trapped.
Yep.
In hindsight, and again, in the moment, I get it. Under pressure, you're not thinking straight. But all he really needed to do was kind of jump up in the air and heave it down to the other end of the court. Even if they catch it down there, they got to come all the way back down in about 3 seconds and make something happen.
Apparently that crazy Toronto mayor died. Sorry.
Yeah, Rob Ford. Yeah, I saw that.
God rest his soul.
The crack addict. So
he gave some good headlines over the years. Go back.
I was literally, so here's the way I experienced the game. Like Chris left to go walk his dog.
Yeah, I did.
Right?
Left with like 2 minutes to go. I'm this thing's over.
I'm on record. Everybody knows that Mark likes a little bath time. So I said, all right, it's over.
Get your milk.
I ran the hot water, hopped in the tub,
Little 2%.
Yeah, so we're in this rental. So anyway, there's the bathroom door separating my wife, who's out watching the game in our bedroom.
A little music.
So I'm in the tub watching a little something on Netflix or whatever.
Oh, you watch TV in the bathtub?
Yeah, no, I watch movies or whatever. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, yeah, that's the way to do it. That's the way to do it.
Do you pee in there?
Yeah, I pee and I poop.
Yeah,
it saves time.
If you're sitting there for as long as you sounds don't. Like you sit in there, is it like a hot tub? You just sit there and let her fly?
No, I don't pee in the bathtub. Okay,
so do you pee in the hot tub?
No.
I will admit that I peed in swimming pools plenty of times because that's a large body of water.
Did you get that movie Grown Ups where they pee in the...
Yeah, and it turns colors.
That's so great.
Yeah. It's one of the worst movies of all time.
So I'm enjoying a hot bath and Kate, I can hear Kate beyond the bathroom door. She's watching the game.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh my God. And then I'm hollering out to her. I'm like, what happened? She's like, they're down 10, you know, and then nothing. Okay. And then like 30 seconds later, they stole it. And then I'm like, what happened? And she's like in stunned silence. She's not responding to me. I'm like, what happened? Like yelling through the door. And then she's like, they stole it. 30 seconds later, they just stole it again. This is how I'm watching the game. I'm not even watching. I'm hearing it.
You should have got the March Madness.
30 seconds later, they just stole it again. That's all I'm hearing is steal after steal after steal. Oh, they just hit a three. So by this point, I had enough of that relay. So I got out and wrapped the towel around my chiseled body and walked out and watched the end of the game.
Surprised Katie could even watch the game with you out there wet in the towel.
You finished it naked, huh?
Basically, yeah. Yeah, which is a small piece of cloth, you know, separating Kate from the good.
Should we read Charter's Facebook post after you and I's emotional win on Friday? Should we read this?
Yeah.
It's
just so cornball.
then I'll touch on that one too.
Okay, let's do it. You got it, Adam?
I do have it. So I'm going to read it in how I read it in my mind. Okay,
this will be good.
I was about six deep when I read this.
Oh, thing. God. Well, I didn't even see it. He texted me. He goes, you got to check this out.
Nice.
Well, because I wanted you to see my response.
Oh, yeah.
So yeah, your guys' response was heartwarming, by the way.
So Charter puts on Facebook, sports is truly beautiful at times. It is easy to say it does not matter or it is trivial, but it teaches us so much. Beautiful moments like you and I winning reminds us that it is never over until it's over, that the little guy can sometimes beat the big guy. To believe in miracles is okay because sometimes they happen. Yeah, sports can seem silly at times, but there is no better way to showcase to the world what is possible in life! !
I mean, it was touching.
When that 4-point underdog
that was winning by 16 at one point in the game. game.
Those 4-point underdogs.
I think you guys were taking what the literal parts of that game a little bit too seriously. What I meant was that you've got, and like I said, I don't know if I responded to that.
How did I respond?
Or texted you guys.
Again, I was kind of drunk.
You said you're a Trump guy, right?
Yeah, I mean, the whole thing. It's just
that's true. It was kind of fitting to the Trump analogy.
It's so
actually
ironic, yeah, like that you're a Trump supporter, and but whatever.
And for the record, I've never voted for Trump, so I won't say that I'm a Trump supporter at this point.
But we talked about it on that one podcast long about how Trump was scratching you where you itch.
Oh, well, you know, it's like I hate politicians. That's part of it.
Whatever. So we don't need to get into politics.
But anyway. It was more about the fact that you're facing you and I is, you know, they get the scraps. They get the scraps in Iowa. You know, the great players pick Iowa and Iowa State, and you and I kind of get who's left. And you're going up against one of, and I realize it doesn't exactly translate to basketball, but one of the richest athletic departments and programs in the country.
Absolutely.
And you can still beat them. And it was the way that,
You sound like Paul Rhodes. We shouldn't beat Texas.
Yeah. Well, you know, I don't know if they should
have. We don't have any business beating Texas.
But it's just, I love watching on those last second shots. It's the way that when you watch off the court, the players, the cheerleaders, the fans, it's the way everybody reacts when that happens. So, yeah, I was watching that. And again, I'm old, so I had fallen asleep. I woke up to my string of texts. Gray and I are in this Vegas text group. And I'm seeing like, holy bleep, I can't believe it, whatever. And I'm like, all right, I missed something, obviously. So I pull it up on my phone and see the last second shot. And it got me a little emotional.
I could tell.
I'll be honest.
I thought maybe you had been drinking a little bit, too.
No,
it seemed like one of those emotional.
Did you have a tear in your eye when you wrote that?
I did, yeah. Yeah, it's kind of like when my wife every year, and it'll happen again this year, that was their one shining moment, right? My wife watches that every year at the end of the tournament, and she cries.
Ready for your life.
Yeah.
Do you like that song?
I hate it.
Oh, it's so great.
I figured you would.
It's so great. Jeez. I got a buddy who hates it every time
I sing
it to Kate all the time. The ball is tipped. she's like, you're ruining it for me. I want to hear it at the end of the tournament. That's the only time I want to hear it. And
it's so dumb.
You and I will make it, though. That shot will be in there, you know, and then the devastation of that loss will probably be in there too.
Your corny Facebook post almost prompted me to write a column. Seriously, because I saw this last year firsthand.
Yeah.
Like, there's a whole other aspect of Cinderella.
Yeah.
Like, Iowa State's locker room last year after that, like, sure, like, everybody loves Cinderella, but like, those dudes are human beings too, you know what I mean? Like, it is gut-wrenching if you're a 2 seed, like if you're in Michigan State shoes.
God, that was awesome.
Yeah, it was.
That was the greatest upset in tournament history, by the way.
I agree with you.
Yeah.
For one, because of how it happened, it was a beatdown, and two, everybody thought Michigan State should have been a one.
Yeah.
I mean, it was.
They didn't lead that entire game.
No,
that's crazy.
And then, and the reason
you're
also
for your life,
you're a shooting star. I love it. It's a great song. The other part that contributed to the Michigan State being the greatest upset ever is what Middle Tennessee went on to do, which was nothing.
Yeah, they got their ass.
They got hammered
by a team that
scored half the points or whatever that they had scored the day before.
I will say this. I watched them play Michigan State. I watched pretty much the entire thing. They were making everything early, and then you know how that works. It brings the defense out. They got to guard the three, and then they were taken to the lane, and Michigan State could not stop them.
This part of you, though, like, yeah, never mind.
No.
I know the answer. Well, part of you, like, how, like, sweet would it have been for Iowa State to beat Michigan State in the Elite Eight?
It would have been nice, but
it would have been very poetic.
It would have been poetic.
In Hoiberg's home.
But I'm saying this, and I'm sticking with it. People can talk about Iowa State's easy pass so far. We are due for some luck.
Oh yeah.
In the NCAA tournament, we've had such
horrible. What's due for luck in general? Like, we've our karma. Built up over
the years. We are due, and we're taking advantage of it now, Chris.
I don't give a damn what
Virginia,
you say.
We're beating whoever. We're going to the Final Four.
We're going to win the damn national title.
Let's do it.
Can you imagine Iowa State in the Final Four?
The ball is tipped.
I will tell you, I've never cried at a sporting event in my life. If we go to the Final Four, and I'm going to be there with my dad and my son, I will probably shed a tear.
Just at any point, you're just going to start crying? During the national anthem?
I'm saying after we win and we're sitting there and I'm watching the players get up there and cut down the net, might have some sort of rush of emotion over me.
Yeah,
I might.
I wouldn't blame you.
I'll get some sort of a clone tattoo if Clones go to the Final Four. There you go.
I'll do it. We'll do it together.
There, boom.
Yep.
What's it going to be? Like a...
Walking Psy with Final Four of the year? I don't know.
Boom.
Tell me.
There you go. Right. Yeah. Giddy up.
Get a Kiss Me, I'm Cyrish tattoo.
Are you in, Charter? Are you in?
No. I'm not in on that.
Why not?
Why?
Are you not a Cyclone fan?
Yeah, what's your problem?
I'm not a tattoo fan just to get a tattoo.
I'm not either. It's what makes it fun.
I will. I'd consider it. Let's put it that way. I'm not ruling it out. By the way, I want to give a couple quick shout outs real quick to loyal fans of the podcast, because I continue to meet more and more of these people who, for whatever reason, maybe they like stupid stuff. I don't know, but they seem to love listening to this. So specifically, Brian.
Hey, Brian.
What's up, Brian?
Brian, Jill.
Does he go by Brian? Can I call him Brian?
Old Jill.
I don't know. Dave.
Diamond
just,
Dave?
No. These are just good people that listen. And the reason I brought that up is I was talking to Brian about it, and he said that they had a van full of people coming back from the Big 12, and they were all laughing their asses off at the thought of Gray having diarrhea.
Massive big, diarrhea.
And missing,
biggest lie of
and,
all time.
And missing the podcast because he couldn't get off the throne.
Chronic diarrhea.
We need to get Bloom on here so he can verify that I was not on the toilet.
Apparently Bloom was asleep. How is he verifying anything?
I think he couldn't make it. If I had massive diarrhea like you guys said, he would smell it and he would probably hear it. But neither
Speaking
occurred.
Speaking of that, neither so occurred. You guys know my basement, right? Yeah. I was sitting on the couch last night and my daughter was like playing. She has a slide.
Yeah.
I'm probably like 10, 15 feet away from her.
Yeah.
And I could smell her crap from there. It was unlike anything I'd ever experienced.
Is that when you like fake it? Be like, hey, Ashley.
No, she was gone.
Oh,
she was getting
worst.
Her hair done.
Yeah.
And it was the type that was just coming out the top of the diaper.
Oh, man.
Oh, God.
Yeah, those are rough. Have you ever faked like you didn't know she pooped and been like, hey, I got to write an article? Oh, I do it all the time. Julie, I'm sorry. I got to take this call here. You want to change your diaper?
And I don't walk know.
Away? I'm a diaper warrior. I step up and I do what I need
I am
to do.
Too, because I know that my wife does a lot of crap that I don't want to do. Yeah. So I figured a diaper takes 2 minutes to
the
change.
Great part is my daughter Hollis is at the age now where she recognizes what she's done.
Oh,
when they reach that age.
Daddy,
so she'll come
crying.
Waddling over with a diaper pointing at her butt. And it's like, it's time to do something about this, Daddy. And we'll do it, you know? You get it. It's like I have a friend that had a baby. He's a couple months old now. And last I checked in, maybe I hope this has changed. He had not changed any diapers. And his theory was, nah, that's not my job. It's my wife's job. I have a real job. And me and our mutual friend, John Olson, were all over him. We're like, dude, you got to change diapers.
Hey, speaking
man.
Of kids.
That's a shared chore.
Listen to this crap.
Yeah.
You're never going to believe this.
Yeah.
So I'm on my flight back to Denver. I go to sit down. Gray's kid's sitting next to me.
Really?
Yeah.
Yep.
Jake is the seat right next to me.
What are the odds of that?
Yeah, it was great.
I couldn't believe it when you sent me that picture. I couldn't believe it. I thought you would like maybe saw him on there and said, hey, can we sit together?
No, our seats were
not
like,
only on
legit.
The same flight, but
Williams is probably ticked. We all know how he likes to watch adult content on his laptop on the flight.
He watched it in front of Jake. Jake thought it was a little weird.
Jake
but
was playing some weird game. Like was he was creating roller coasters with like lambs and
how old is he?
9.
So when you're 9,
I didn't understand
when you're
it,
9, do you get like does this flight attendant take you on and make sure all that the whole deal?
Dude, he kept getting. Do you have to pay for all the extra snacks he gets?
Oh, there's like a fee for a minor fee that you pay. Yeah.
Oh my God, because he got all the free snacks.
Did he?
Like they brought him gummy bears. They brought him cookies.
Oh, those Haribo. Yeah, I eat some of those.
Oh, sweet kid though.
Really good. Yeah.
He told me that that Owen is a huge fan of these cookies, so we had to save one for Owen.
Oh, really?
A kind gesture, I thought.
He's a sweet boy.
Nice young man.
He's a very sweet
boy. But like I mean, I gotta if I want gummy bears, it could cost me like $10. Jake gets a whole bag and he crushed them.
Did he get pilot wings?
He ate some, and he was you could tell the young man's flown a lot because he was going through the like Chex Mix. He's like, no, I don't like the ones with wasabi on them. It's like, impressive.
Do they still do do they still give out the pen, like the wings and stuff?
They do from time to time. Yeah, they do.
I saw like Bloom's wife was taking a selfie with the pilot.
Yeah.
How did that happen?
Well, I know the story behind this. They were delayed.
Yeah.
And to, because it was snowing in Denver that day.
Yeah.
And to appease the children who are already on the plane, they were letting them go up and look at the cockpit and all that stuff. Yeah.
Nice. I was impressed. Impressive selfie.
Are you guys going to Chicago? I know Gray is because we got the big bus.
Yeah, we got the bus trip. Got about 15 spots left in the bus. Sign up, people. If you want to go out there, it's a hell of a deal.
It really well, and explain to people why we don't have tickets, because I'm trying to describe this to like you, Charter, earlier. We're trying to keep you from getting ripped off.
Yeah, because basically we wanted to have tickets, but when the offer came out for us to buy a big block, it was expensive. And the way I look at it is, people can buy their own tickets and pick and choose where they want to sit and how much they want to spend to sit there, right?
Correct.
And I think tickets are probably going to go down a little bit in price as well.
They should. I do too.
So my big thing is, people can worry about getting their own tickets. And, you know, somebody like Mark might want to pay a little bit more to sit in a better seat, where some people just want to get in the arena. We want to have a trip that anyone can.
They were selling these ones like balcony level for like $400.
$400.
Yeah, that's way too much.
So like, the point I'm making is, if we would have done the tickets with the trip,
yeah,
it would have been $400 more, and you would have had crappy seats.
You can get crap balcony for $200 and probably less.
They're $275 right now for crap. Not even crap. Actually, lower level balcony right now in StubHub for about $275.
The good news is this: the other teams that are with us are Gonzaga.
Yep.
Syracuse
and Virginia.
And Virginia. They're not going to have a lot of fans there just because of distance.
Yeah.
They'll have some, but we're certainly going to have the most of anybody there.
Correct.
So because they're not coming, I think prices will certainly drop back down.
The bad part is Chicago is not necessarily the I'm trying to,
and nobody in Chicago cares. Let's put it that way,
no,
too.
There's a lot of scammers there. You've seen people on our website have already gotten scammed by buying tickets off Craigslist.
Yep.
It's scary. I mean, it's a little different than buying tickets here in Des Moines, I would say.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I think you have to worry a little bit more, make sure you're buying legit tickets out there, which means people have to go on StubHub, have to go on PrimeSports.com, those places to buy tickets. And right now, they're expensive. And what really gets you is the fees on these places.
Yeah.
And you buy a $300 ticket, you're paying $100 for fees.
Just know that when you show up to the parking lot of the United Center and you don't have a ticket, and the guy comes up to you selling you a tickets at an unbelievable price, and he shows it to you and it's written in ink on the back of a bank envelope, it's probably not a real ticket.
Yeah.
You may want to check these things out before you purchase.
I hope everyone I hope nobody gets ripped off, but you know, it's unfortunate.
I didn't hear any of that happening in Des Moines. Maybe it did, but I didn't hear any news reports or anything of counterfeit tickets going around. But the bigger events, you certainly do hear about that.
How big of a scumbag do you have to be to do that?
A marginal size scumbag.
Marginal?
Yeah.
Oh, I think it's pretty large.
It's amazing to me.
I'm actually leading off my show tonight with that.
With how big of a
of a jackass you
any
be
any time.
Imagine like a little kid going to a game and he's all excited. Then you get turned away at the door.
Well, look at us when we went to the Vikings.
Yeah,
game
it happened
playoffs.
To us.
Yeah, about tickets on Craigslist.
Don't you naturally have that fear any time that you weren't there at the point of purchase, so you didn't go to the store and buy them yourself, or you know, whether it's off StubHub or anything?
I do. Well,
when you approach the gate and they're about to scan you, there's a little piece of you that's like, I hope this doesn't get rejected.
Yeah. Especially like when you have the StubHub and it's got somebody else's name on it.
Yeah.
I hate that.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Which is how it goes.
Yeah, and Kate and I, for this, we bought some off the street to get in Des Moines, and she was freaking out about it. And I looked at them, and they looked fine. And they were. But yeah, part of you, that you have this inkling, this isn't going to go well. And then I've never had an issue with the ticket, ever. They've always been legit, yet you still think they're going to be fake.
Yeah.
All right,
there are horror stories out there.
We got to get going. Let's make our picks. Who do you guys like?
Oh, you're not gonna let me pimp our Big 12 trip yet, or not, or Sweet 16 trip?
You already have been pimping it.
Not really. I was gonna just tell everyone everything that it
pimp it, and
offer.
Then I gotta go.
So we're gonna be leaving here at Ankeny 7 o'clock Friday morning. We'll get out to about 12:30 into Chicago. We're staying at the Chicago Athletic Association Hotel, brand new hotel, not even a year old. Best rooftop bar in Chicago, overlooks Michigan.
That's
Avenue.
Like the worst hotel name I've ever heard.
Well, it used to be an old athletic, like a fitness center.
Yeah.
So they got a full basketball court. They got a game room with like shuffleboard and all that stuff. It looks fantastic.
What time? So you get there at 12:30?
12:30.
You should leave an hour earlier. There's a pep rally at 1.
I know.
Did you switch the hotel? Maybe, I thought you had another hotel booked.
I went back and forth, but I kept coming back to this one because the location's perfect. It's 3 miles east of the United Center. Bus takes you right down there. 3 nights hotel, travel to and from. You got Wi-Fi, you got DirecTV on the bus. You don't have to worry about driving. You don't have to worry about parking.
Cold
parking's
light.
Expensive out there in Chicago, by
it
the
is.
Way.
It is.
$60 a night.
Yeah. Insane.
So don't have to worry about that. So if you really do the math and everything, we got a pretty good deal going on right now.
All right. Do you guys think Iowa State wins?
I do. I like their mojo. I don't think Virginia is some unstoppable force. They lost how many games? 7 this year? Somewhere in there. They're beatable.
I'm picking the clones.
You know?
Let's have a little fun.
If you're going to wager, go Iowa State money line. I like that. I like that bet.
I picked Virginia before the tournament.
I did too.
I picked them to beat Iowa State. It's going to come down to the last 4 minutes of the game, guys. I mean, it's going to be a close game.
I'll take
minutes to go. Virginia's been really good in the last 4 minutes of games. Iowa State's been really bad in the last 4 minutes of the game. That script has got to flip if Iowa State's going to go to Elite Eight.
I'm a believer. I think we're going to do it.
I am too. I think we'll do it, especially if we keep defending at a good rate. We don't have to be great on defense, but if we defend good, we'll beat Virginia.
Thanks, boys. We'll talk to you next week, all right?
Have fun in Chicago.
We'll have our big Final Four preview coming up next week.
I hope so.
Peace. All right,
later.